If we are flesh, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So every word in Scripture is truth, because he is truth. He cannot disown himself. You can rely on the reliability of the Word of God. Also, Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. Paul, I'll start with verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. God does not lie. So every word in Scripture is truth. Every passage, every chapter, every book is truth. This is a metaphor I've used before, and every metaphor is going to have its fallacy. So there's probably a fallacy in this somewhere, but up to a point it works, okay? The truth. What is the truth? How can we picture that as an image? I am not the truth. You are not the truth. We as a church are not the truth, except this is where it falls apart. We are the body of Christ, and so in that sense, we are the truth. But let's say the truth is a pillar, okay? It does not change. God cannot lie. He cannot contradict himself. It's a pillar that's never going to change. So the truth is God, Jesus. When Pilate asked, what is truth? He asked the wrong question. He should have said, who is truth? Then Jesus could have said, I. But the pillar is the truth. How do we fit in to that? Well, we are a vine that clings to the truth, okay? The Word of God is truth. That's the pillar. It's another way to say it. We cling to that truth. We go to the Word of God to discover how it works. But here's the thing. The truth doesn't change, but the vine coming in from this direction sees the truth as one thing. The vine coming in from this direction gets a completely different thing out of the truth, but it's both part of the truth. It's both truth, okay? They're both clinging to the same thing. This vine needed this part of the truth at that time. This part of the vine needed this part of the truth. Sometimes we can grow away from the truth. If we do, and we're standing sort of on our own initiative, on our own wisdom, and we find ourselves away from the truth, we're going to fall. You cannot go very far until you're on thin ice. So what you have to do is turn back around and come back to the truth. I'll apply that to history of Christianity. There have been times in Christianity. Okay, let me use us, okay? For a while, you didn't hear the word grace preached very often in the Church of Christ. You didn't hear about the Holy Spirit much. You didn't hear about how we are saved through faith. And we had gone pretty far away from the truth, because the truth is we are saved through faith. We are saved by grace, okay? And we started realizing that. And so we came back, but we have a tendency to overshoot when we come back. And now we talk about grace so much that I think we've gotten away from the idea that God wants us to be holy as he is holy. We need to come back to the truth and realize, yes, we are saved by grace, but that doesn't mean we can live however we want to live. We have to live godly lives. So we have a tendency to overshoot sometimes, but as long as we come back to the truth, we are clinging to the good thing. So all that to say, the Bible is the pillar. The Bible is the Word of God, and it is truth. In the end, it says, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge you. In the end, it's not Jesus who will actually judge us. It's the word of Jesus. He said, the words I have spoken will be your judge. So the Word of God has a purpose. It's designed for one thing, and that is to bring the truth of God to us where we can understand it. Jesus came for that same reason, but Jesus only stayed for 30 years or so. He didn't stay on earth in physical form as a human body, okay? He is now with God, but we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of Jesus with us. So that's the purpose. And if we come up with, if we think of a message from God, like I'm going to really chew on this temporary healing thing this week. I'm going to really pray that God will give me wisdom about that. And, you know, is that going against Scripture? Is that going against your truth? You'll come up with ideas, and you're not sure if they're from God or from Satan, and you want to be careful. So you always go back to Scripture. Yes, Maxanne. That's a good scripture for that. Yeah, good. And
you know, the faith thing is we have to have faith in
right.
The blood of Jesus and what he did for us. So it is through faith,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually the blood that saved us, but it's our faith.
Right. And see, that's the problem with focusing on one aspect of a thing. Is you focus on that and you might lose the other aspects. Or when you're hearing me, you might hear me say, we're saved by grace through faith. And I didn't say anything about the blood of Jesus, so you might tend to downplay that. But you're absolutely right. The blood of Jesus is the thing that saves us, the sacrifice that Jesus made. His crucifixion on the cross. He came and he said, you can't live a perfect life, so I'll live it for you. And then he said, you need to be punished for your sins, so I'll take that too. And so he did both. So it is Jesus who saves us, yes.
You're right too.
Well, it's not two different things. It's all part of a complex thing. And I just didn't mention the blood of Jesus, but thank you for mentioning it. The next thing, does anybody think of a scripture that might emphasize the importance of studying the Bible? For instance, all scripture is approved by God. Do what? So that's another one you might turn to. Study to show yourself approved. I can't think of that without thinking of something that happened one time when Sally and I were first married for her birthday, I think it was. I gave her a Bible. And at the beginning, I said, I'm going to get this backwards. 2 Timothy 2:15 or something like that. And she looked up 1 Timothy 2:15. And she came to me and said, why did you write that? That is so mean that you wrote that. I said, what are you talking about? And we looked, and she had looked up, women will be saved through your childbearing. That's not what I said. So she, 2 Timothy. And so that was studied to show yourself approved. So... All right, Sandy, did you have Sabbath with Sandy yesterday?
I did.
I didn't see it on there.
Well, it was kind of weird. My phone, it was at my house, but my phone would not connect to my internet. Cousin, I have this phenomenally amazing cousin. We finally used her phone and did the video, and then I shared it. It should show
okay,
up on
I'll,
my page,
I'll check it
but
today,
that's why
so.
It was kind of
okay.
weird. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Listen for a whisper is the next thing that Google suggests. Ask God to speak in the quiet of your mind. Now, this can go south in a hurry. So is there a scripture that this helps you think of? While you're thinking, let me share the scripture I thought of. 1 Kings 19:11-13, the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. So sometimes God speaks to us in a whisper. I have to say, sometimes it's much louder than a whisper for me. Not audibly, but as far as how it hits me, it's like a ton of bricks. But usually, I would say, to hear God, you have to quiet yourself. It's hard to hear God if you've got a lot of noise and distraction going on around you. All right, does anybody else think of something in Scripture? Yes. Oh, perfect. Be still and know that I am God. When he said that, he was talking to kings and those who would rise up against him, and he's telling them, be still. But it also means for his people to calm down, quit your worrying, your fretting, be quiet, and know that I'm God. I wonder, I didn't look at, well, it's Hebrew and Greek, so it wouldn't be, but when Jesus quieted the storm, that's what he said. He said, be still. Literally, he said, muzzle yourself. That's the Greek. Yes? Wow, you've got quite a ministry with your posts there. That's great. And the passage that she read, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. She was saying, for those who couldn't quite hear, that it's important for us to find the rest that God gives. It's not like a good night's sleep. What the peace that God gives, the rest that God gives, is his Sabbath. Okay, we know a Sabbath that's much greater than anything that Israel knew when they were following the word of God as they had it. They practiced the Sabbath and they enjoyed the rest once a week. It's supposed to carry into the rest of the week, but we enjoy a Sabbath that goes day to day to day, okay? I still believe there is great benefit in taking one day a week to rest and to not do any work, to trust that God will take care of the work that you're not doing. And just rest in him. And when we do that, he gives us a sense of peace that, as Jesus said, the peace I give you, the world does not give you. Okay, so you can't get this from changing your alarm clock. The rest and the peace that Jesus gives, like you said, is from God. It's greater than anything the world can give. So thank you for saying that. Yes?
1 John, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out.
Okay, go ahead and read, because I had this actually for the point that they made later. Go ahead and read down through verse 3.
That's the problem with using this.
So test the spirits to make sure they have come from God. Many false prophets have gone into the world. And then verse 2. It tells how we can recognize the Spirit of God. That's okay. I'll read it. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not, sorry, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is in the world. That opens up a whole box of things.
The problem with that is that the evil one uses just enough scripture to get close.
That's exactly right. That's a good way to say it.
And so you have to study to see a counterfeit.
Right.
You know, how you tell a counterfeit bill is by studying the original.
Yeah.
That's how we know how to... We have to study God's word.
Right, right. That's good.
No other way.
There are people that say they discover a piece of music that has been in somebody's attic for 200 years, the old house. They get it down, and when you hear it, there are people who can say, that's Mozart. That is clearly Mozart. And the way they know that is because they have studied Mozart. They know how Mozart sounds. They know what he preferred and what he didn't prefer. They could even say that's early Mozart, okay? Those who study the Bible know the Word of God. They know the voice of God. And that's how you can tell if what you're hearing is from God or the prophet that you're hearing is false, is a false prophet. So the more you study the Bible, the more you understand the message that he's trying to give us. If you study the Bible a lot, you will have people coming to you to help them understand what does God mean when he says this in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. That's going to an older person for advice, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't want one person out of 100 who knows the Bible, and everybody goes to that person. What God wants is for that person to teach other people and for them to go to the Bible themselves, and then they can teach other people, and that's what God wants. He wants each one of us to know his voice. We're all sheep, and we all have a lot of voices that are calling out to us. God wants us to know his voice. Right.
And he also says God's word is true.
Yes.
Absolutely. And God's spirit helps us remember when we study, you know. But like the apostles, when they were called in front of kings, he said, don't worry what you're going to say because the spirit will help you to recall what I said. So they work together.
Right. She's talking about how we actually hear the voice of God is through the spirit. The spirit is the one who gets that message into our hearts. And again, that's something we didn't hear a lot of long ago, but we've come back to the truth, and we understand that the Spirit is how God reaches us today. It's through the Word of God, but they're not different things. They're the same things, okay? The Word of God is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of truth. I don't understand how all that works, but I don't have to. What I do have to understand is that if we go to any commentary, if we go to any podcast, instead of going to Scripture, we're going to the wrong source. Whoever made that podcast, hopefully, went to the source, went to the foundation. That's where we need to go constantly, is back to this. Now, the Spirit is how we get there. The Spirit is what woke us up in the first place and helps us get there. The next tip, and I know we're just about to the second bell. The next tip is consider the content. God's voice is kind, loving, inspirational, and wise. Satan's voice is negative, destructive, vicious, or accusing. The scriptures that this made me think of are John 10:10, the thief comes only to kill and steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Okay. The other scripture it made me think of is Galatians chapter 5. I wish I had time to go maybe next week, but first he talks about what the spirit of the world is, that kind of fruit that you'll see from the world. But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That you can't just read that as a list and get it. You have to really chew on those words. But I don't have time to do that here. Against such things, there is no law. So he's saying, don't. Galatians is a hot letter. He is hopping mad when he wrote Galatians, because somebody, false prophets, have been telling them, you have to live by the law of Moses to be saved. And Paul was saying, don't do that. Don't just live by the law of Moses. He wasn't throwing out the law. He said, I'm not going to throw out one jot or tittle. But that is not the only, Paul says, there is no law when it comes to what the Spirit can do. As you were saying, the Spirit is the thing that enlivens us and produces good fruit. The fruit of those who only go to the law of Moses. Please hear me. I'm not throwing out the law of Moses, okay? But those who preach to other people, you have to be Jewish to be saved, are preaching the wrong thing unless they also say, and one of those Jews was Jesus, he was the Son of God, and we need to go through him, okay? That's, I know the bell rang, but we're kind of in the middle of that point, so we're going to come back to that point next week, and I want to hear what you think about God's voice is kind, loving, inspirational, wise. Satan's voice is negative, destructive, vicious, and accusing. Think of scriptures that you can bring up next week.